Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Well, hello, and welcome to the sweet dulcet towns of Watch What Crappens.
The sweet dulcet towns. I meant sounds, but I would love it if we had a town. Just
a dulcet town, no less. How lovely.
A dulcet town. Really, well, lovely, soft-sounding town. Everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm amazing. Do you know why?
Why?
I was looking. Well, two things have happened in my life. When I found Jesus, just kidding. I already found him. But I do have, I did find a new Lord in the way of ice cream being delivered to us from Jenny's Ice Creams. You know what? What a lovely group of people. We talked about Jenny's on the show. Ben loves it. I hadn't had it yet. It is amazing. It is actually amazing ice cream. Ben, you were correct. We did not get a sack of money to talk about it. So just in case anybody's wondering, is this real? We did get a sack of ice cream, though, which is just as good. And that shit is amazing, Jenny's. You deserve all the praise that you guys get. Okay.
I'm so glad, Ronnie, you've now seen the way of Jenny's blooded ice creams because it's wonderful.
It was great. So that was one thing that happened to me that changed my life. Another thing is that I was looking at the charts on iTunes, the Apple iTunes. It's not even called that anymore. That's so old. It's so boomer of me to even say iTunes, but on Apple Podcasts. And we are killing, you know, we're doing great because we've released 9 million episodes this week. So that's great. Thank you, everybody, for listening, really. Sure. But in the overall charts, we are right next to a podcast called Girls Gone Bible. And you know what? I mean, just seeing us right there, it's amazing. I don't know why it makes me feel, laugh, but I'm also like, yes, we're right up there with a Bible show. Killing.
I also like that you called it the overall charts because it sounds like it's a chart for podcasts that specialize in overalls. It's
I love some overalls.
You know, we did discuss Love Island USA, the reunion yesterday. So, you know, overalls is content that we are covering.
True. Another thing we discussed this week was the preview of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We call those trailer trashes because we trash trailers. You can listen to that on the feed. We also did the Love Island preview. Not preview, reunion, which was fantastic. That was a really fun talk. And we did a two-part other thing, Below Deck, this week. That was Unhinged. Yeah. We've had a really fun week so far, and it's only getting better because we have decided to cover the Mormon Wives of Real... What's it called? Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is coming out on Hulu. And we will be covering that, but the trailer trash for that will be on the bonus feed on Patreon. So if you want that, there will be a bonus and a video released for that show. We probably will release that bonus as a main episode, maybe right before the show airs or whatever. But go to Patreon, get it, support us. It's great. You'll get all the videos, all the bonuses, all that good stuff. And today is Real Housewives of Dubai.
And real quickly, we mentioned it yesterday, but we are in the process of streamlining our Patreon. So it'll be more user-friendly. So for people who have had some issues with the interface, et cetera, or signing up, like, just stay tuned. We're going to make it a whole bunch more pleasant for everyone. So we're excited about that.
And prices will also be frozen for people right now. So if you sign up in the next couple of weeks, you will get this pricing because, you know, it's going to change. Apple's made all sorts of new rules and laws and all this shit. So it's going to change everybody's Patreon, not just ours. So we would suggest if you're thinking about it, now's the time. You better go sign up, get you frozen in there. And just when you sign up, be sure to cap the amount that you spend in your monthly settings because we charge on the way that Patreon was originally set up, which was a buy creation process, and we've got 9 million creations because we do a ton of podcasts. But you get everything for one low fee. Just cap your amount.
By frozen, Ronnie doesn't mean you're locked in for the rest of your life. It just means that, like, you can be grandfathered in before the Apple tax starts to kick in.
Right.
Yeah. So it's we'll give you updates when it's ready, but just want to let everyone know for people.
Patreon talk. It's always so fun. Glad you could join us. Let's move on to Real Housewives of Dubai, shall we, Ben?
Let's do it. So the episode opens up with Brooks at home and her son, and she's getting a foot massage. And then Talene and Saba are working out outside because Talene's going to help Saba get a booty. And then Lisa is talking to her, is helping her kids with math problems. And she's like, oh my God, math is like so hard these days. So just like a lot of stuff happening around town.
You know, math has always been hard.
I'm drinking coffee on that one.
I'm just math is hard these days. It's always been hard. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now they have changed math in weird ways, and I guess it's supposed to be better. My sister is actually an alternative math teacher. Well, it's not alternative, but she teaches like the newer kind of math, and she teaches for people with learning disabilities. So she's really good at this kind of stuff and training people like me. And guess what? Still can't do it. It's very hard. There's a lot more parentheses involved.
Oh, love that.
It's just all the numbers are written out differently. I just don't understand. Grid, like,
there's like a grid process I've seen. I am down to learn the new math. I just feel like it takes up so much space. Like whenever I see, like when my niece has done her math homework or whatever, and I see a grid of, it's like, okay, you want to add 14 plus 16? Let's make a grid. And then all of a sudden there's like a grid of numbers. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm down for new ways to add things up. But if I get a check, you know, if I got a check at a restaurant and I've got to add tip to it, I'm not going to make a whole matrix of numbers just to get to the total.
Yeah, I don't understand how the whole thing works. I think you learn that way and then it becomes easier in your head. But let me tell you, it doesn't really. I still can't do it. Math sucks. It's very hard. Also, Talene and Saba, never mind. Who cares? Okay, Sergio. So he's unpacking a little Virgin Mary thing and he's showing Stamper. He's like, the Virgin Mary baby. This was the original baby. They called her the Virgin Baby. Hey, baby. I mean, all babies are virgins, but still, you know. And I'm going to put this on the bedside table. And she's like, oh, Sergio, you're absolutely killing me. He goes, I'm not laughing. This has to be in the middle because it's blessed. And she goes, no.
No Virgin Mary's here, Sergio. Put it in the trash. And then we go to Chanel. And Chanel and her husband, Chris, go to a restaurant, the Dior restaurant. And so they're sitting down and everything, and they're just making small talk about how he's like always hungry and everything. And he's saying,
"Can I just say that her husband gives me human resources vibes? Doesn't he to you? Do they even seem married to you? They don't seem like a married couple to me. He always seems like she's coming into his office to just check in on. He's like calling her into the office. He's like, so I wanted to take some time off of work so that I could meet with you. I felt like this was very important to have this talk. You've been to Bali. How was that? How was Bali? Let's talk about that. I was like, are you giving me a job performance review? Like, this man gives me odd. This gives me odd vibes. There, I said it. I don't know what's going on. Not sinister vibes necessarily. I just feel like I'm about to get a bad review, you know, and a note written on a post-it that's like, fuck up again and you're out. I don't know who wrote that. Really don't know.
He definitely feels like he's more of a consultant of some sort, like whether it's human resources or someone who's just come by to find out like what sort of awnings he can install at your home or something. You know, it seems like he is definitely there to hear about an issue and resolve it.
Yeah. Like one of the ADT guys in my neighborhood, they keep coming over and they're like, is your home secured? I'm with ADT. Mm-hmm. And if you go with me, I can give you a deal the guy down the street won't give you because I won't charge you for installation. I'm like, what the hell? What are we doing under the table ADT stuff? Listen, if you're going to come install a burglar alarm, you need to be trustworthy. I don't want some shady, underhanded person who's like giving me a deal. I want you to charge me the most and assure me, that you're above the boards. People, come on.
This is a very appropriate episode to talk about that because as we'll get to, Sarah has a quite terrifying ordeal that she goes through, which is just sort of like you know, just sort of put into a little side story in this episode. You know, it's an episode where they go and they play polo and they have cocktails. They go to a bar. Carla and Lisa catch up and they reconnect. And Chanel and her husband have lunch. And Sara reveals a sinister plot for someone to hold her son for ransom. I was like, how does that just get wedged right in there? But
because you know, it's fucking Dubai, bro. It's like, they have lunch, then they're like, oh my God, we might be thrown in prison for screaming at each other outside. What if Sarah calls the police, you know? And also, why is it always Sarah putting people in prison? Like, here we are again. That was already a plot line of Sarah saying or she didn't say it, but she was accused of saying, like, I'll call the police on you or whatever to one of the women for fighting. And not today she did it. She did it to somebody else. Who's going to kidnap her child?
Yeah, I was about to say, this one seems a little bit more urgent than someone screaming in the street.
But Sarah has her finger on the number of the police at all times. It could be for yelling at her. It could be for cursing at her at a party. It could be for possibly conspiring to kidnap her child. Like, who literally knows? It's Dubai. It's a crazy show. Can I tell you?
It's a crazy show where there's just like a kidnapping scheme just, you know, thrown into a, not even a B story. It's like a C story. So with Chanel. Chanel and her husband are having lunch and they're catching up about the Bali trip and everything. And she's like, oh my God, my trip was insane. My favorite part of the trip, Sarah took us to a spiritual place. And he's like, to the mountains. She goes, I don't know, it was close. There were rocks. It was giving flowers and to different gods. And there was one for money. So I gave a lot of flowers and money for the money god. And so they're like,
how could you not know if it was in the mountains? You were swinging over a cliff. Like, that was literally the last scene you were in. Come on.
That's a fair point. So Chanel basically says that when she left there, she just was in the most peaceful place. And then she says how she found out that because of her teeth, she's between 45 and 50 years old. And Chris, of course, likes that because he's 49. And that would make him younger than her.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my God, I might be older than my own husband. Yeah, seems to horrify Stanbury. Listen, it works fine for everybody else I've seen doing it on this channel. Don't worry about it. Look at Carol. Carol's living her best life. I mean, that woman gave herself about 4 years. Was it four good summers left or five good summers left? That was years ago. She's still banging young hotties.
Yeah, there's a whole world of hotties. Look at Countess Luann. You know, banging Joe Bradley from Southern Hospitality. You know,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This is normal.
So then she starts talking about the goss. And Chris is like, yeah, well, Lisa called and I said, please hold. Lunch break is almost over. And in 3 minutes, I came back. I hope she enjoyed the muzak. And she was saying she was upset, but I really didn't understand why. I wasn't the team leader on that project. So I figured you guys would figure it out because you're friends and women, let's face it. So honestly, I'm proud of how you handled the situation because that's what middle management does. Are we done here? I think I've got another lunch coming up.
So Chanel's like, it was really painful. And so then we cut over to Lisa's house where we're going to hear her side of the story. And she sits down with Rich. And he's like, so what's going on? By the way, Rich's mom is like basically in town to help with the kids. We see her like for 1 second and she's just like on the floor in the corner. I was like, can they give this woman a chair? So Lisa's like, teachers need a raise. Anyway, I haven't gotten a chance to fill you in on Bali. Bali was like a lot. You know, Rich was like, oh man, I made it. He's like, I made it 4 days without talking about Bali. I was just hoping. Just hoping we just would never bring it up at all. But okay.
I know.
Bali.
It's like, I'm so glad you're back so we can talk about Bali again. Sounds wonderful. So she's like, I thought it was going to be relaxed and chill. She's like, no. And the worst part was obviously with Ayan because she thought Stanbury was her friend. And now she knows she only has one friend, and that's me. And he's like, why are you girls like this? Why do you do this to each other? Women, am I right? Women.
I don't know. So then we go back to Chanel and she goes, Lisa goes, I don't trust you. And the way she said it in our relationship, we never, ever done that to each other in front of everyone. Like, you know that. And Chris is like, that's why you guys have such a strong relationship. He has like certain buttons that he presses. Like, that's why you guys have such a strong relationship. I totally get it. That's why you guys have such a strong relationship. That's why you guys have such a strong relationship. He just has the prompts that he presses and just spits them out.
Nice weather outside today, eh? Nice weather outside today, eh? She's like, exactly. Oh, go ahead.
Maybe it just takes time.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I was just so hurt about it. I was hurt by that more than Stanberry saying the voice note thing because, you know, you just don't call me that. I'm loyal. I'm a good friend. I always have your back. You spread the voicemail that she gave you.
Exactly.
This is like a circle of bad friend things. It's a bad circle of Sarah talking shit into a voicemail. And then it's a circle of you sending that voicemail. And then it's a circle of Lisa knowing that voicemail was nothing bad, but still spreading it around like it was bad to you. And then you spreading it to Stanberry. And then Stanberry bringing it up at the lunch. You know, it's just like a big circle of wrong. Can't we just all cut the cord? Like, well, we're all terrible. We're all terrible people. Okay.
It was just hot potato. Hot potato with a voice note. It just got passed along. And then Stanberry was the one stuck holding the potato when I guess it was time.
Well, she threw the potato at someone's head. But to be honest, she was not holding the potato. She was just the last one to throw the potato at somebody else, you know?
How does hot potato go again? It's hot potato, hot potato, hot potato. Did you say, like, when does it end? Someone goes go or something
like
that?
When someone dies. When someone gets a potato thrown at their head and it burns through their temple and eats their brain and then they die.
Here's a game. It's called Be Patient. Why are you picking up the hot potato? And then why are you just giving it to someone else? You're both like impatient and you're just being harmful. Like if I'm holding a hot potato, I'm like, hot potato. Roddy, you hold it. That's so fucked up. Put the potato down.
Yeah, put the potato down. Or you know what? Get a maid. And if she doesn't hold it, throw her ass in prison. That's what I say. So, Lisa's like, oh, and then she slammed a door in my face, Rich. And he's like, oh, but you must have done something to provoke that as well, right? Oh, Rich, this marriage is over. How is this marriage not over yet? There are so many signs that this marriage is over, and this is the ultimate one. She called his ass to cry about it, and he was in sub club instead of being with the kids where he was supposed to be. And instead of even feeling bad about that, now he's like, what'd you do to cause that fight? Oh, his marriage is over.
I didn't love that response from him. And she's like, I didn't do shit to provoke it. He goes, well, you said something in the group that she didn't like. And she goes, no. I said, I don't trust you. I'm never going to send you a voice note ever again. We were good the next day, but it was still hurtful in the moment. And she says, I won't forget, but I'm okay to move on to forgive. But I already told you, Ayan, you will get burned by Stanberry. That girl is not your friend.
So then we go back to Chanel and Chris, and she's like, but we're joking with each other now. And he's like, you guys have such a strong relationship. Now, how did you resolve this thing with Stanberry? You guys have such a strong relationship. Now, how did you cold water, hot water, cold water, hot water, ow, potato, I'm out.
Daisy, Daisy. So she's like, I know I'm really hurt by it. And I feel like she played me to feel like I was comfortable with her. And then boom. So she tells us that she doesn't hold grudges and like, she's going to move forward with Stanberry, but it's going to take time. But what's harder for her is to process the Lisa situation, and her head is spinning. It's weird. She goes back and forth all episode. She's like, you know, I'll move forward with Stanberry, but Lisa's the one where it's really hard. And then later in the episode, she'll say, well, Lisa and I are going to work on it, but Stanberry is the one who really burned me. So it's like, I think she just wants to be mad at someone rather than to accept the fact that she was just as messy as everyone else in this hot potato game.
What I'm getting from it is that she wants to just go against Stanberry because that's the normal thing. It's like they're used to going against Stanberry. Lisa's definitely always trying to get her against Stanberry. We know that. And so I think that she's like, well, that girl fucked. She's the one who fucked me over and played the tape. So I'm anti her. But then when she sits down with Stanberry, Stanberry is so good this season about just being like, I'm wrong and I'm sorry, which is so rare. And it really does disarm everybody when she does it. And she seems to mean it. She's like, that was mean of me. And here's why it was mean. Because I hurt your friendship. And I didn't mean to hurt your friendship. Like, you can't argue with that. So then she's like, oh, this girl's actually nice. So now she's being nice. So now what do I do?
Yeah.
And then she goes to Lisa, and Lisa's still saying things like, well, I forgive, but I don't forget. And she's kind of still probably giving her, I don't know, some bad energy or something that she's like, well, fuck this. This girl's supposed to be my friend, but the one who's supposed to be evil is making me feel good. And this girl's making me feel like shit. So now what do I do? you know?
Exactly. Plus, Lisa also just said, like, Ayan's going to realize I'm her only friend, which is kind of like, I don't know if I would ever want to hear that from a friend. Like, I'm your only friend. That's, I can imagine, I don't know if that's like clingy or it's manipulative. Maybe
it's abuse language, actually. And I'm not saying that Lisa's abusive, but that is abuse language. When you're trying to tell somebody you don't have anybody but me and you're trying to separate them from everybody else and keep them separate from having anybody but you, that's what abusers do. I'm not saying she's an abuser, but I think she's a manipulator. And she doesn't seem like a very fun manipulator. And so it's kind of like you're trying to manipulate somebody to be on your team, but your team is so droll. It's just so droll and so sad. You know, people want to have fun. I think ultimately, whether you're right or wrong, people are going to choose team fun, and Stanbury's having more fun. Bye.
She is right now. Yeah. So then Lisa tells Rich that Stanbury invited her out to lunch. And, you know, she's like, you know, and it better not be to validate and justify her throwing Ayan under the bus, because I mean, you can't, because I called her a snake because she is a snake. Like, that was a snake move. Like, so I once saw a snake and I looked at the snake and I was like, that looks like Stanbury because Stanbury is a snake. They should have called it Stanbury's on a plane because she's a snake. Do you understand what I'm saying here? She's a, like, Stanbury is a snake. Am I making my point clear?
Oh my God, ring ring, it's me, Sarah. I'm so sorry to bother you, but I found out that Samuel Jackson took a snake on a plane and he's in jail now. I just wanted to say to say that. All right, so we go to Stanbury's house, and Talene, we're looking at the pillows that Talene got them that say, home is where the honey is. Let's tiki tiki, honey. Honey, honey, let's tiki tiki. Okay.
So, honey, what do you think? What do you think? She goes, I think I've never been more grateful for a bedroom and to be on my own ever in my life. Emphasis on my own. Please see yourself to the pantry, which is where I put a little doggy bed for you, Sergio.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby, This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was, like, at my locker, and she came up to me, and she was, like, stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling, and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the Witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So she's talking about how moving was just so difficult on her relationship with Sergio. It's the most we've ever fought about anything. And not on my kids, you know, because like I've never had the day-to-day of just seeing them when they get home from school. Now all of my children are under one roof. It's disgusting. I really know how this happened. Do we do this on purpose? We need more walls. Let me tell you, we spent a lot of money on marble. What we really needed was more lockable doors. Honestly.
What we need are some substitute mothers for these children, because they're always like, mother, make me pancakes. Mother, hug me. Mother, acknowledge my presence. It's disgusting and I won't have it any further.
Even if we're doing different things, we're in the same house. It's going to change everything.
Yes, Sergio and I have never argued quite as much as when we were moving. He never seemed to understand what the concept of was of saying, I'm on the phone with Barari.
So he's like, so how are you feeling, baby? Honey, honey, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant right now? Do you want to be pregnant? Hey, would you like me to put sperm inside of you? Please, honey.
No.
Baby, please.
No.
Please.
No.
Please.
No.
Please.
No. Go away. Go away. I'm sick of you.
Baby.
Please join the other children in the playroom. Thank you.
I feel like I've been hit by a truck. It was like being in a huge sorority that vacation, like sleepover for 5 days, and a lot of my friendships have imploded, which is actually kind of fun. I mean, at least something good happened on that trip, really. So I've asked Lisa to lunch. You know, I just want to reiterate again that I had never known, I didn't know that she was the one who sent that voice message. I really didn't want to come between her relationship with Ion, because frankly, without Lisa, Ion's just mine 100% of the time. I've got enough children. Do you understand?
I just want, you know, I don't want to get to the middle, and I'm sorry if that's caused friction between them. As we all know, if I'm going to create friction between anyone, it's going to be between you and my children. That's the more fun thing to do.
Your birthday is coming, baby. I want to do a birthday for you. She's like, I don't do birthdays, Sergio. He's like, no, please, please, baby, please. Because I looked at your teeth. You're basically 17 years old, plenty young to have a baby. Let's do it, baby, baby. Please.
Sergio, please. If I'm going to have a birthday, I only want one thing. Please. I want my age written in rose gold balloons. That's all I want. Please roll the montage of me walking into a room with rose gold balloons for my birthday for 5 years consecutively. Thank you.
Here's all I want. I want to sing myself happy birthday. I've been practicing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Sergio's going to die childless. Happy birthday to you. All right, print. Print.
Sergio, for my birthday this year, the gift that I would like you to give me would be for you to throw yourself into a volcano. Could you do that for me?
So then he's like, literally, like, kill me in the beginning, but then right before I surprise you, you love me more than anything, right? Right? You love surprises, baby. Come on. Come on. I'm so happy. It's going to be the best day of my life. You're going to have so much fun. And she's like giggling. And then we see a flashback of her 44th birthday. And there's like balloons. He's really into balloon arches.
He really loves them. And they're all the same. They're all rose gold balloons. So she's like, I hate surprises. For instance, I hated the surprise of marrying a man and then discovering afterwards they didn't understand what a vagina was. That was a terrible surprise. I don't want that replicated.
I was the child who measured every gift under the Christmas tree until I guessed what each one was. I actually did that. I used to open the presents, like I used to untape them and look inside and then retape them and stuff so that I would know. And then I was always so over it by Christmas. I was like, oh, whatever. I didn't know I was getting that. Make it more creative.
Wait, so you open the present and then you...
So I would open it. I would pull the tape off the corners. You know how they have the corner fold? And then I would look into it to see what it was. And I would be so excited. And then I would think, oh my God, I can't wait to play with that toy. But then I would play with it so much in my mind that by the time Christmas came, I was like, fuck that toy. That toy's old. Like, I don't even care about that toy. And I'd already told my friends, I have that toy. Like, I'm getting that toy. And then so by the time I got it, I was like, oh God, you guys got me this old thing? And they're like, why aren't you excited? And they're like, he opened these.
You're
and
a toy.
Just be like, fuck you guys. Like, you could have done better. You should have known I opened them. Like, if there was really a Santa, he would have known that I opened this shit already, and he would have like corrected. He would have course corrected.
I want to say two things. First of all, you were definitely a toy hipster, in that by the time you actually got your toy, you were like, been there, done that. Second of all, Caroline Stanbury said that she measured her gifts until she could figure out what it is and guess them. And you're like, I did that. I opened my presents and saw what they were. That is not the same as measuring gifts, Ronnie.
I took it as her saying, like, I sized them up. Like, I would look at them to see what they were. Do you think she actually measured them? Like, one of those grocery store things where your groceries are not the same weight as what you've entered. calling an attendant. Chris comes over. He's like, have you ladies made up yet?
No, Caroline Stanbury definitely did not measure those gifts. Now, did she order one of the brown uniformed nannies to do it? Measure it. Take the measure. How many centimeters? All right. Now the length. Now the depth. Now throw it at the other nanny. Thank you.
All right. Now please go to the shopping center and measure every single thing in there, and then tell me what comparable measurements that these gifts would match. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then afterwards, please know that you are fired.
Yeah. <So. laughs> I figured that was an English thing, saying I measured the gifts. Like, I don't think anybody really measures the gift, but I don't know. What the fuck do I know?
Caroline Stanbury is one of a kind. You know, listen, I mean, she's intrepid. So, she had a business called The Gift Shop. Wasn't it called The Gift Shop?
No, it was called The Gift... Oh, damn it. I don't know. Don't test me. I hate when you test me on things. No, it's so annoying. I'm dumb enough.
Yeah, remember that? Remember that that obscure reference from a show from 10 years ago?
It's like the gift gallery or something like that. So Yasmin comes in and she's like, hello, mother. Hello, stupid. Why do you look like you're going to the beach, mother? She's like, why do you look like you're going riding? And then Sergio's like, exactly, honey. It was funny before you chimed in. Sergio, mother, why'd you let him speak to me like that?
Oh, don't worry about him. He's barely even a real person. I'm not saying he's an imaginary friend. I'm saying, like, what sort of man doesn't understand how a vagina works? He thought a vagina was literally a throat. He had no idea. Anyway, Yasmin, you've disappointed me today. How, mother? I don't know, but I just assume you've done something already. Carry on.
Listen, I'm not really sure exactly how, but, you know, if statistics are still worth anything.
Listen, you're under 20, you're bratty, you're wealthy, you're pretty. So somewhere along the way, you've disappointed me today. You can think about it. Report back to me.
So she's like, well, mother, actually, I'm dressed like this because I go to school and they have a dress code there. She's like, oh, sorry. I was just joking with you, Dan. I wasn't. You look stupid. Shut up. Why are you letting him talk to me there? Listen, sticks and stones may break his bones, but if you really want to hurt him, tell him that he's never having a child. It'll be fun. It'll be fun for me.
Sticks and stones may break Sergio's bones, but what will really hurt him is a child made of sticks and stones, which is what he's going to get.
Bindle baby. Right. So he's getting bindle baby. So she says that she is going to a polo weekend that Caroline Brooks has invited them all to. And then we see a clip of Brooks doing a voice note to invite everybody, which I like that they included because she's just so, if you're going to get a voicemail, this is the person to get it from because she's very like, hey ladies, I just wanted to extend an invitation to you all to come have a day of polo this weekend. Come dress the press. I'm going to be judging everyone's outfits. Like, there's no moment of subtlety even giving a voice note. And I tip my hat.
Yes. So Yasmin gets, hello, do you even play, mother? She goes, play? Are you a fool? My young daughter, this is why she won't get into any good colleges, because she's an idiot. You too, Sergio, you're an idiot too. Everyone here is an idiot except for Michael. And honestly, he might be an idiot too.
Can you see your mother playing polo? Come on, give me a break. She's like, well, I dated a guy with a polo team, so there was that. Oh, Sergio, don't be upset. Oh, God, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like that because I still wear all that guy's clothes when we go skiing. He's like, what? What? You wear all the guy's clothes? No, you wear them, stupid, okay? Because they're his brand. They're not his actual clothes. He's just actually someone with a career and a job. That's like, I should actually have him give you a call. A few pointers. Yasmin, get him on the phone. Get polo prints on the phone.
But you're not wearing his clothes, are you? No, Sergio, not the clothes from his closet, you imbecile. This is his company. His company sells clothes. He actually does something with his life rather than sitting on ottomans and trailing me around like a stupid puppy that needs to be put down in a shelter.
So he's like, please, I don't want to hear about clothes from the guys you made tiki-tiki with. She's like, oh, God, I think we might have a child together somewhere out there in the world. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you crying? Are you? Yasmin, get out your phone. Get a video of this.
Put a puppy filter on it. The puppy's crying.
So then, oh, go. Get the puppy filter on Snapchat. Aim it towards Sergio when I tell him he's never having a child. I really want to see him sob with the puppy. So it's actually a great idea, Ben. Thank you. All right, let's move on to Chanel. So Chanel goes to Huda Beauty Corner. Headquarters. Yeah. Why'd I call it?
Huda Beauty Corner.
Huda's Beauty Corner.
So she has a meeting with the founder, Huda Katan. I don't know. Is this a big brand?
Yes. Is yes. It? Yes. She's huge. Huda. She's a beauty influencer. She's a big deal.
I was more like, Huda? Huda? Huda?
Huda Katan. She's a very big beauty influencer. How dare you?
I have no idea who she was. Well, I don't say that proudly. I don't like having a Sergio moment. But I kind of, by the way she was talking, I was like, this woman feels like a big deal. she talked like a big deal. She talked like, I'm a big deal.
She has 4.2 million followers.
Wow. Well, our note taker, Jessica, when she wrote down that Chanel has a meeting with the founder, she's put in parentheses. Ah. So it's clearly a big deal. Clearly. Yeah.
She's huge. Yeah. When even I've heard of you in the beauty space, you've really won something. Now,
you know what, now, and now I've heard of her too.
Does this make her, does this means that she gets to escape from the trend of terrifying eyebrows? It does not. I think she's contributing to this trend. Actually, because she's an influencer, maybe she came up with them. But like the magic marker eyebrows, I think. The painted, I don't know. I need new eyebrow trends, I think is what it is. Also, I'm just old. You know, I came from the 90s when the eyebrow trend was when you pluck all of your eyebrows to be like little tiny, teeny lines. You know, so I don't know that I'm really of a place where it was better back then. So it's not like we should go back to the old days. We just need new eyebrow days. I don't like the magic marker eyebrows, and I don't like the gel eyebrows where everybody brushes their eyebrows to the middle. I don't like either of those. Personally, I don't like mine either, how I'm just like growing really long individual strands of eyebrows that start curling on their own. Like each one of them is auditioning for Little Orphan Annie, you know, the eyebrow version. So I don't like my own trend either. So I don't know where I stand with this.
Well, what I will say is Huda Kattan, sister of Chris Kattan, as we all know, I liked her quite a bit. I would not be surprised if they tried to recruit her for this show, right? Like she was very comfortable on camera, and she was like very, I don't know why I'm giving a review on Huda. Guys, I give her 4 stars. My Yelp review of Huda Kattan.
I approve of Huda. Just no, in general, really, just her personality.
I enjoyed Huda. I didn't know who she was, but I enjoyed her. She was an out of the box hit for me.
So Chanel knows her because she used to do her makeup, and she recently saw her at Naomi Campbell's show that I walked in, she says, and then we see footage of that. And she's like, Huda, babes, I'm starting a makeup line. And she said to me, Ayan, I love you. Whatever you need, let me know. And so we did. So now they talk about kids and all that stuff. And right. Then Chanel's coming to her for advice. And she's like, you know, like, it's hard for me. Like, I just started this and like learning office stuff, like sending email, doing things like that. I don't understand. And she's like, oh, you don't need to send emails. I don't send emails.
No, when you get to the Huda level, you don't send emails. Here, let me call Stephanie, get in here. Okay, hold on. Here comes my assistant. Okay. What you do is you just tap Morse code on Stephanie's back, and then she transcribes it into an email later. Okay. Dear mom, I will see you later tonight for dinner. Okay, thanks, love, your daughter Huda. See, it works for
She's like, oh yeah, so she shows her the products, you know, and Huda's like, I am so excited about your products. Look at these, they're amazing. Wow, is that your name? Fantastic. I'm so proud of you, Chanel.
Yeah. They talk shop a little bit. She talks about, you know, that Chanel should get Italian manufacturers because it's so easy to hop on over. It's only like 7 hours away. And then,
yeah, because Ion's getting everything made in America, which is far, you know. And I hope that she knows it's even further, because in America, we have everything made in China. So you're basically getting it made in China, sent to America, and then sent to you. You're basically wasting a lot of money on postage, okay? And Huda's like, you know what you need? Let me just make one quick suggestion for you. I mean, your packaging looks great. Love your name. You should keep your name. That's good. Don't need a name change. Love your face. That's good. Just one little suggestion. You should be in retail. You should be in Sephora. Okay, bye. Oh, you don't know Sephora? Okay, I do. You want me to? Stephanie, get in here. Stephanie, ow, your nails. I'm doing it on purpose, Stephanie, so you don't fuck up another email like you did to my mother, okay? Sephora, call me or die. Okay. You're going to be hearing from Sephora soon. Stephanie, get out. You're bleeding all over my carpet.
So she basically is like business. I like at one point she's like, okay, well, here's what you need to do. You don't know the value of business, and they're investors, and they want to make money, and they're probably going to try to give you like less equity in your company, and you already have such a strong presence, and I think it's better a conversation for later on. So like, you want to really maintain your equity, have like a high market share with that sort of stuff, and just get started with maybe some test marketing, some, you know, and get into a few stores, establish a presence, and really make sure you build up your margins. And you know, Ion's like, uh-huh, yeah. I was like, I have no idea what she's talking about right now. I'm just going to nod. I'm going to nod right now and look pretty.
Well, she's telling her, so do you own, who owns this? Or do the investors? She goes, no, I own every single part of it. But doesn't she, isn't this a collab with her makeup person that Caroline Brooks said the makeup person does everything? I'm not sure how any of this works, but.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, Huda's basically like, yeah, I'm going to put you into Sephora. And it's nice.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Yeager. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, so let's go over to Sara's house. So Saba, and look who's here. Guys, who ordered the French fries? It's Nina. It is Nina back. I hope she talks about French fries. I saw Nina and I was like, oh my God. What has Nina been up to? Is her huge apartment finished? Has she had French fries lately?
Has she made any fruit? How is her fruitcake business going?
Oh yeah, I forgot about the fruitcake. You know, get rid of the fruitcake and make a French fry cake business. That's something unique.
Yeah, Nina's big return. They didn't even give her... Normally, when someone makes a return, we get to see them walk in the door. We didn't even have a moment of, like, people are showing up at Sarah's, everything. We're just there. They're already talking. And Saba is... She's like, I bought you something to cheer you up. You know, this is the necklace that I've been wearing up. Oh, here's something else to cheer you up. It's a letter from the desk of Saba Youssef. I have decided to amicably part ways with Sarah... Because she didn't say thank you for the necklace I just gave her. Thank you so much. No further questions at this time.
Oh, really? Well, I would like to make a public statement on Twitter about sabotage. Heart emoji, smiley face emoji, wacky face emoji, thumbs up emoji, shark emoji, thumbs down emoji, exclamation point emoji, because exclamation points weren't enough.
So, yeah, Saba gives her a necklace, and she's like, this necklace is an animal in an astronaut. Because you know we're aliens and we belong on a different planet.
That's why they're into aliens, because they are aliens. Like, they're so above humans that they're, like, not even considering themselves human. And by the way, we do see Buddhas, we see some aliens, we see religious, we see all sorts of things that they close. Spencer gifts, you know, porcelain, toilet paper joke, a koozie that says, I'm with stupid, and it points to the left.
Area 51 stuff. So Saba gives this necklace, and Nina's like, and what about my wacky necklace? It's like, I don't know who you are. So Sarah's like, thank you for cheering me up, because, like, listen, I have to tell you the weirdest thing ever. You guys won't believe what happened, okay? And Nina's like, I'm dying to know really anything. I've just been in my apartment for a year, bored out of my mind. I can only make so many batches of French fries and fruitcakes. So Saba goes, oh, Taylor, it's very bad. It's very bad, Nina. I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's just like a nervous laugh. I shouldn't be laughing right now, but it's very bad.
So Sarah is like, well, my maid for the past 6 months has been closing the cameras in the house and bringing in multiple men. And the men asked her for my picture and his picture, meaning McComb. She's pointing to
McComb. Sitting right next to Sarah, by the way.
And she's like, they're asking what times we go out when I come back. And Nina's like, what a psycho. What an absolute psycho. She goes, yes. And on her phone, there's pictures of, like, people in her room with alcohol. Dun, dun, dun. And Toom's like, yeah, we went to the police station like 3 times.
They said, officer, if twerking is against the law, then put me in jail, because here we go.
So Sara's like, ever since I came back from Bali, the magic of Bali is over. So what the hell? This is crazy. This story is so crazy. How did they find this out if they've been covering the cameras? Do you think she just noticed like missing footage and she was like, wait a minute.
Maybe.
What's all this?
It may have been that, but she says, she goes that there are texts of these men commenting on my son's picture saying, oh my God, he's cute. We love his hair. We love his skin. And these men were asking her, what time does he come home? Who waits for him? Do they have money? I mean, all these questions indicate one thing, kidnap, ransom. So basically she's done with the court case and the police over this situation, which is horrifying. I mean, like that is a nightmare. And she's saying how Maktoum is traumatized, which I totally understand. Also, though, are like maybe don't have him sitting in on the conversation with the adults talking about this and like reminding him of how truly scary this was. Can we like protect this child a little bit? You know, like she says later on, like, you know, she had to be open with Maktoum about what happened because the police were asking him. But I'm like, I still feel like there's a way that like it we don't have to like make this child feel so scared right now.
The whole story is just so bizarre. Like, what? These guys were on the Instagram commenting on his picture. Like, he's so cute and I love his hair. I mean, what kind of kidnappers are these? Like, these are the least amount of chill I've ever heard in a kidnap. Like, who does that? What? This is the craziest shit I've ever heard. It's crazy that you live in a world that this is just like, oh, yeah. And Nina's like, oh, that must mean ransom. They're like, yep, it was ransom. Yeah, they were going to hold him for ransom. Isn't that crazy? It's like, yeah, oh my God. Glad you got her.
So then she goes, you know, and I was just like, leave my house. It's over. I don't want to see you again. But then I go to her room and she's packing and I start seeing my stuff, my gold necklace, my mom's earrings. And Maktoum goes, your underwear? She's like, yes. Yes, my underwear. I'm like, like you shared a lot with your son about this situation.
And Nina's like, well, she was probably plotting to take him for ransom. How scary is that? God forbid. Oh, hold on. Let me knock on the table. Oh, God. Am I back on the show? Is the audition over?
So Sara says that Maktoum is really traumatized. He's having a hard time sleeping, doesn't want to be alone, and he doesn't even go to the bathroom alone. And, you know, this is where she says she had to disclose everything, you know, because the police had to talk to him. And Sara then, Maktoum's sitting right there, and she goes, now when the bus picks him up, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, could you not say that in front of Maktoum? Now he's going to be paranoid that there's someone lurking in the bushes at the bus stop.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do if you're the. My parents scared the shit out of me, so I'm. That's why I'm being quiet. I'm like, I think your parents are supposed to be like, you were almost kidnapped, and you better watch your ass and stay close to me at all times. Because my parents made us watch this movie, this TV movie that came out over and over, and it was about. I think it was called Adam, and it was about this little kid that got kidnapped, and like terrible things happened to him. And then there was like a big satanic panic happening back in those days in the 80s. Yeah, and so they're like, you're going to get stolen by Satanists. And you're going to be eaten and, you know, mutilated and horrible things. And I mean, that was considered good parenting when I was growing up. So I don't know. I mean, I'm like, it seems fine to me that she's telling Maktoum.
No, you're totally right. Now that I think about it, like we were raised during the era of like, don't talk to strangers, stranger danger. Right. After it was a McGruff, the crime dog, who is like, don't talk to strangers. And so this, what Sara's doing is literally not even new. Now that I say it, I think I'm going to unclutch my pearls a little bit because this is a tried and true parental instinct, which is to make your child feel like there's danger behind every bush, because actually they should feel that way. Because
there literally is danger behind every bush.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what maybe there's a middle ground between like traumatizing your children with things that could happen to the point where you turn them into cynical idiots who feel nothing like me, or if you know, go too far like the modern way of just being, oh my God, don't talk to them about anything. Even hearing about this thing could, you know, traumatize them. Like I was reading something the other day that Generation Z or whatever is having social anxiety to the point where they can't order off of menus. Like they have to have somebody work because they're just raised so differently. It's like there was no sensitivity for us and then so much sensitivity for them. Maybe there's a middle ground, guys. I don't really know what it is. The fact is though, you know, if you can't trust a maid, we're all fucked, because then guess what we're going to have to do? Clean things. And that would be terrible.
That would be terrible. But yeah, I remember when I was a kid, my mom dropping me off for day camp, and she wasn't able to pick me up. So someone else's mom was going to, I was going to basically carpool home. And she's like, now just remember, she has to say a password to you so I wouldn't get into the wrong car. She's like, and the password is mushroom. I was like, okay. And like, I've carried that with me to my day. I'm like, mushroom. Like literally to this day, if someone like pulls up next to me and goes mushroom, I'll be like, okay, well, I'll get in your car. You're safe.
But your mom was just setting that person up to get arrested anyway. Cause then that person comes up and goes, hey, you want a mushroom? That person's going to jail. Like, I feel like your mom's just setting people up for failure.
I'm so happy.
The mushroom car's here. The mushroom's going home.
Okay, so then of course Sarah's like, on top of this, on top of my son almost being kidnapped and held for ransom money, I'm also having trouble with my Instagram thought.
On top of everything else. So
then she goes from kidnapping to a hot guy on Instagram. Like,
yeah. She's like, if a ransom weren't enough, let me from ransom to handsome. So Sarah's like, she's like, ugh, so Akin? Well, Akin made me drop a deal for $45,000. I'm like, no, I'm not defending Akin here. He's a piece of shit and he should never have told you what to do. You were the one who dropped it. Why would you ever drop it for this piece of shit Instagram thought that
she
you found?
Wouldn't. I don't believe this. I don't believe that she was offered $45,000 in the first place. And I don't believe that she would drop it for Akin. That's craziness. What, I don't know what she's playing at here, but I don't believe this for a second. She's way too smart for that.
Yeah. So she says that she says Akin made me drop it. And she said the whole thing because like the guy was shirtless on Instagram and he's like a sports figure. And he's like, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's like saying you can't have ketchup with your French fries. Am I back? Am I back? So
and Sarah's like, yeah, because I was going to talk about spirituality and business and, you know, like growth.
Sarah, let me have your hand. Okay, I'm gonna see your hand. I see zero rings.
You know where else I see zero rings? My plate, because I won't eat an onion ring. Fries only. No Saba, onion ring.
Laugh a little louder. The producers are watching. Laugh. I was really funny just now.
Saba loved that. Look at her go. But then I did a test because he had a photo shoot coming up. So I was like, how much are they paying you for your photo shoot? And he said, it's between 3 and 5K. Which is it? Is it 3 or 5? There's a big difference between 3 and 5K. What is it? I don't believe anything that comes out of Sarah's mouth, honestly. I find her to be so full of shit on this show. So she's like, I was like, how much are they paying you? He said between 3 and 5,000. So I said, then you drop it for me and make me feel like the sacrifice I did for you is reciprocated. And guess what? He did the shoot. He did it anyway.
So first of all, I think that if you're doing tests on your future husband, that's a bad sign. You don't like relationships should not be about tests. I hate that. I literally hate that. And I say that as someone who loves doing tests. But like, you shouldn't be testing, especially not this early on. Second of all, also he's a dick because I don't think that he was obligated to drop it as much as she was obligated to drop. Neither of them should have dropped their gigs. I feel like when he said drop it, at least he gave some. So, well, you know, I can't even justify it because I was like, his reasoning was so awful and so stupid, according to Sarah, that it was obnoxious. But hers was just like, just drop it. I was like,
do it too. If you get to control me, do I get to control you as well? What kind of bargain is that? How about you just don't get to control me in general? And I also don't like Nina saying, well, I don't see a ring on your finger. I don't give a shit if there is a ring on her finger. You know, we were saying this last week. That doesn't matter either. You don't get some magical power over your spouse just because you got married. No. If she wants to do a job, she should do the damn job. That's crazy. How is she supposed to pay the ransom for her son? She could have made ransom in one podcast episode.
So she, look, my feeling is like it was clear after last episode that Sarah should dump the guy, and they're even telling her, okay, you should dump him. Okay, you should dump. And Nina's like, you know, I love you, right? Do you remember what I told you from before when I was a full-time cast member, wasn't I? No, I wasn't. Okay, I don't see it happening, Sarah. And Saba's like, I know you love him.
even though you've, according to your storyline, you've also only met him like 3 times, but apparently you love him now. But he does have a big insecurity, and an insecure man is never going to admit that he's insecure. And Nina's like, she deserves something completely different, much like I deserve another season on the show. And that's, he's just not a good guy. He's not the one for you.
But you know what? I want to give him a chance. Get the fuck out of here with this. I can't with you. I take nothing you say seriously, because if I did take it seriously, I would completely lose all respect for you. The reason I have some respect for you is because I assume you're lying to hustle. Like, I don't know what your hustle is. I mean, I know what part of your hustle is. It's selling bullshit spirituality. So I know that that's part of it. But, you know, listen, I live in LA. I get it. I'm not that. I get it. A hustle's a hustle. So you hustle. But this whole, like, oh, I'm just going to stay with a man that I know is toxic and, you know, so far emotionally abusive. Even though I know this, I'm telling you on TV, and I have all these people telling me, no, I can't with that. Stop it.
Well, stop it. it doesn't speak so greatly for her spiritual healing, given that she did have, like, she came out of 2 or 3 really wretched relationships that were really bad for her, and that she's still willing to look the other way for when red flags are blatantly in her face and her friends are saying, don't do this. That she's still like, I want to give it another chance. But I honestly, the cynical part of me says she just wants to give it another chance so that way she can shoot a scene with him where she tells him off and then says it's over.
Yeah, she's like, I'm breaking up with him in the season finale. So
I think that's honestly what
give
it
me
is.
A minute. Yeah.
She's like, I'm not gonna break up with him off camera. He's still in Germany. I need him to come back. Have a scene.
So now we go over to lunch, the sit down with Stanberry and Lisa. Dun 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 dun. And it's beautiful. Basically, they're at a beautiful place. And so Lisa comes and she's like, can I have something for my purse? And I love this whole rich lady thing of like, I need a separate chair for my very expensive purse. Oh, thank you.
So she's like, so how is Bali? Stenberg's like, I feel like I've been hit by a truck, which is something I would love to do to Sergio someday.
I was going to say, I actually hired that truck to hit Sergio, but unfortunately he swung me around when he was hugging me, singing baby, baby, baby over and over again. Hit me. Hit me. God damn it.
Unfortunately, he thinks vaginas are trucks, so it's a very confusing thing. By the way, haven't they all said, I feel like at some point in this episode, they've all said they felt like they've been hit by a truck. They've all been hit by trucks. So then Lisa's like, yeah, it was a good time. And she goes, and that's why I was a little confused when in the morning it was like, you didn't talk to me. And I thought I would like that. I hate when people talk to me. But then I discovered that I really wanted to hear from you so that way I can tell you, shut up, I don't want to talk to you.
So Lisa's like, well, I think there were things that went left at that dinner. And mostly it's because you threw Ayan under the bus. And you went right back to that Caroline that I knew you so well to be. And she's like, I've said I'm sorry for that, all right? I didn't consider you. I didn't consider Ayan. I didn't consider Sergio, which actually is normal. I'm not going to consider him. Would you? Listen,
I only threw it onto the bus because a truck was coming, and I was the one who got hit by it. So, you know, we all got hit by some sort of vehicular experience.
There's another bus coming. Tell me, so I could throw Sergio in front of that one. He's got to be hit by something.
A tricycle, anything. So she gives like a pretty good apology here. She's like, it wasn't a dig at you two. I didn't want to come between you. You know, I've been having a great time with you. And Lisa's like, yeah, I know. And I know we've had our issues in the past, but the only way for us to truly move on is if we speak about it. And, you know, when I told you I was going to move on, I meant it. But like, am I still hurt? Yes, because you really cut me. You really said some mean things. And we see a flashback to last year's reunion where ultimately Stanberry accuses Lisa of being an escort.
Well, yes. And she says, well, I'll admit my responsibility for things that have happened in the past, but I did feel like I was being provoked. So we see this flashback and she whips out her readers in the flashback and she's like, you said this, you said that, you said that my husband was gay. You said, so Lisa's like, so you were provoked. So then you called me an escort. I mean, should I have said certain things? No, but when you said that, it affected my children, which of course is the ultimate housewives. You can't, you always bring that out like for your big guns, right? You affected my children. And especially in Dubai and going through the carpool line. Excuse me, ma'am, but going through life in Dubai when somebody has just accused you on national television of being a gay man who's married to somebody to hide their sexuality ain't great either. You know that that's illegal. That's in that town. So you don't get to use your whole, but I'm a mother and you hurt me. You could get somebody killed.
And Lisa goes, she says, you know, I'm college educated. My parents worked so hard for me, for who I am. I worked hard to be who I am. You know, it's hard living in Dubai. And as a black woman, there's so many stereotypes. And one of them is being an escort, which, you know, all fair. But then when she said, I don't want to drop my kids off at school because I'm afraid the moms are going to watch and heard rumors and will judge me or my child because of it. I'm like, well, I feel like that's the least of the issues. If these people are watching you on Real Housewives of Dubai, they're going to think all sorts of things about you and the entire cast. Like, you're just, the moment you sign up to be on Real Housewives, you're signing up for a lifetime of embarrassment. That's going to haunt you for years and years and years.
Kind of, but that whole being a hooker thing, yeah, that is really bad. Like, her whole thing about, I'm not saying like you shouldn't get to cry in carpool lane or whatever. I get how that would be so hurtful. I'm just saying her whole acting like, oh, well, you hurt me. I was being petty, but you really hurt me and I have children. You just like tried to like kind of out somebody on national TV or make it look like you were outing some. I mean, that's just not cool either. That's really low too. So I just think that she shouldn't get off with like, you know, what you did was way worse. What you did could have been life threatening. So I mean, you're both bad here. Just apologize and get over it.
Yes. I definitely, like you, I hold space for the fact that like Lisa is a very accomplished person, and to be sort of reduced down to just like, oh, you're an escort is like incredibly hurtful and probably triggering to a lot of experiences she's had in terms of like people not appreciating how smart she is and accomplished. What moved the needle less for me was her saying she can't even drop the kids off at carpool, can't drop the kids off at school anymore. I was like, well, I just don't have empathy for that because I took the bus all my life. I'm like, yeah, well, like there are a lot of us who don't actually get personally driven by their parents to school.
I love that we can make all this about like our own childhood. Like, your argument's stupid, like, honestly, because I had to take a bus. So
if you said, okay, this is, you know, her kids got made fun of as a result of this, or she lost business deals, but if it's like, oh, you can't drop the kids off a cart like at school, I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't to me, I'm like, I just want better evidence, a better case.
She's like, and you know, what if people think it's how I got my husband? And what if they don't want to invite my kids to birthday parties anymore because they think that, you know, I was an escort, you know? I mean, Dubai is just like, it's very conservative and people really cross you off the social board if they feel like you're not up to their standards. Well, I can't wait to take my gay husband to the next PTA meeting when we have a child. Thanks.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, yeah, I get that too. Like, you don't want your kids to be alienated because of stuff the parents do. But also, like, if it's a really conservative place and something like this could like derail your status in society, then my feeling is either don't do the show or don't live in the place. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's like every. We'd say that about every like plot that came up in here. Like, well, you're living there. So I don't know. This whole thing, I mean, it's just kind of like you started it. I go back to a grade school argument where you started it. And so you don't get to complain now that like it went too far. You were the one who went too far first. Sorry, you started it. You're bad. But in reality, they both did shitty things. Stanbury is like, well, I'm glad we had this lunch where we still decided to hate each other, but I guess we're doing it some more calories in our system. Yes, I still hate you. I still hate you as well. Okay, well, this was fun. Let's not ever do this again. All right.
Confirm our mutual hatred by saying, I really do like you, and I really do like you too. Great. Now we know where we both stand.
Still hate each other. This was a classic Housewives lunch where they're like, okay, I guess we have to shoot a scene and make up, but they just end it with, like, still hate you. Still hate you.
So now they are trying. Now it's time to get ready for polo. People are trying on hats, trying on different, like, tea party hats and things like that. Brooks arrives at the polo grounds first, and she's like, I have such a love for polo. Horses are my favorite animals. Like, the sport is just amazing. I've been friends before mooted by the Al Habtour family. Like, I invented polo. I don't know, you know, but I was like, they should call it Lopo. And I said, no, call it Polo. It's better. And they're like, you know, Caroline Brooks, you made a great sport. So that's why I come here and I own it. It's basically my sport. So I wanted everyone here.
And then Sarah's telling us what polo is. She's like, polo is very popular in Dubai. It's a sport of the elite. You know, they stand around, they brag to each other. They wear all this jewelry and fancy clothes. It's just not my vibe. It's not my energy. $45,000 for one podcast. That's what I'm offered usually. Very often.
Sarah's saying that everyone wearing jewelry and bragging is not her vibe. As she shows up in jewelry and like in designer clothes and everything, right?
It says 45,000 a few times again.
For this episode. I'm just so amused. She amuses me so much with her hypocrisy. So Brooks is like, oh no, I dress like the wanna ride a horse. I invented those too. I don't know what we know about horses. They used to be cows. And I said, why don't you make their heads longer and their tails longer? And we want cows. Horses, Brooks.
So Talene's like, Brooks and I, we made up since Bali, but Rafi and Brooks, they haven't seen each other since Caroline's housewarming party. So this could be really bad, but I don't want it to be really bad. I want things between Raf and Caroline to be good, because when things are good, they're really good. But right now, they're not really good. Oh my God, this woman. Did you see the clip that was going around of her that she posted on her Instagram or TikTok? I think it was her Instagram. No. This weekend, I think she was in LA at trying to go to a restaurant with her family, and she gets on Instagram. She's like, do not hide. This is me tall. Just here's what I'm saying. Do not go to this restaurant because they wouldn't set me and my children because Roth came in on a phone call, on a business call, because he has business that he does on his telephone. And they said, you cannot come in here on the phone. He was on the phone because of a business. Then they tell me they can't give me a table for 7, only for 6. And we had 7. And I said, we've only got one more than 6. You surely can fit us. And they said, no. And not when you're like, do not ever come to this restaurant. And it cuts off. And then she comes back and she's in the car. And she goes, I just want to tell you, that is the worst restaurant I've ever been to. Do not go to that restaurant ever. They're horrible. And the hostess, Missy, that's her name. Her name is Missy. She's the host. I mean, she just went off. And I was like, I don't know what you think this is giving, but you are awful. You're a terrible human being. And then all the comments were like, oh yeah, we go to that restaurant. There's no more than 6 people per table, and they have a sign that says you can't be on your cell phone.
I'm like furiously looking this up right now. Like I was like, as we started telling, I was like, I'm already, but I can't find it. Oh wait. Okay,
I died. I saw it, of course, on Reddit. My favorite, you know.
Here it is on Reddit. What place is she talking about? She said
something square. Did you find it?
Something square. Okay, I found her video.
Then we had 7 of us.
Wait, I'll start it from the top. This is, I mean, by the way, you sounded exactly like her.
And they wouldn't seat us. They said that it could only be 6 people, even though there was plenty of room at the table.
Hillstone Kirby?
Hillstone Kirby.
Hillstone, like the nationwide. Okay, can I say this? Okay. Talene, let me tell you something. I have something to say. She was Hillstone Kirby, so that's in like Texas, I think.
Well, it's in Houston. There's one in Houston and one in Santa Monica, but none of them say Kirby. They just called Hillstone. So I don't know.
Guess what?
Oh,
guess
Houston, what? Yeah. Kirby, Talene, the Kirby really one needs, is in Houston, yeah.
Talene needs to take a seat if she had one, but they don't have 7 of them for her. But here's why she needs to take a seat. Because Ronnie, you and I went to Hillstone in New York City once. And we were there. We talked about this on the podcast. We were there and we had to sit at the bar. Remember, we sat next to the hot guy from TJ Maxx.
Yeah.
TJ Maxx headquarters. TJ Maxx corporate. So we're there. Sierra, the pop star, comes in, married to Russell Wilson of football fame. Sierra comes in. They have no seats in this restaurant. It is packed. They don't give a seat. They don't see even Sierra. And she is 45 times more famous than Talene. And what does Sierra do? She stands at a high top. She orders food for her whole family, her whole crew. She doesn't complain. She's there. They get their food. And then they move on. There was no Instagram Live. There was no furious story about how Sierra was mistreated by Hillstone Restaurant. She just ate her food, She provided for the people around her, and she moved on with her life. Now, did Ronnie and I give up our seats for Sierra? No, of course not, because we had, you know.
Are you kidding? We had better seats than Sierra. You want to talk about getting on your Instagram? We were like, guys, we were set better than Sierra. So.
She deserved to have private Instagram lives. That two Bravo podcasters had better seats than her. I'm just saying, this reeks of low-level celebrity from Talene. That's what this is. This is someone who now has a taste of celebrity in the world of Bravo. I'm probably their lowest ranked and lowest rated show. I don't know why I'm defending Hillstone so much. It's more
even beyond Hillstone. I mean, it's that those are the rules, and Hillstone's big. They're big boys. Like they're big boys and girls. They can totally take it. But to go after a hostess and like name her by name over and over again, trying to get her fired because she was following the rules. And by the way, your husband's a fucking jackass, dude. We've all seen him on TV screaming at a woman and cursing at a woman with his bad doll hair wig. You know, you can't treat people like that. And I imagine he probably went in there and yelled at some fucking 20-year-old waitress or hostess as well, yapping on his phone at the top of his fucking lungs. You're so rude. You're so fucking trashy and tacky. And your husband was just handed that money. You're not even a Nepo baby. You're married to a Nepo baby. Get over yourself, lady. Get the fuck over yourself.
Yeah.
Unite for hostesses. Don't fuck with Missy.
On Reddit, it says their website gives all their guidelines, so pretty easy to see they've violated most of them. Oh, wait, I have to see what the Hillstone guidelines are. Guest attire can elevate or diminish, so we consider hats, tank tops, and flip-flops. Okay, none of that. They said our restaurants are not intended for large groups and prefer more intimate experiences, serving parties of two. Okay, and our availability of parties larger than four is very limited. I mean, it's just right there in plain text. And it says, to minimize distractions to other guests, please take cell phone conversations out of seated areas, set devices to silent, and limit the use of laptops or tablets. So, in the case of...
Now, would I want to eat here? Hell no. I want to be on my damn phone, and I want Sierra to have a seat. You know what I mean?
I want to be a group of eight people, and we're all talking on the phone in tank tops.
I want to be at an eight top. We're all FaceTiming our friends from, you know, back in the day at the same time.
Like, in general, do I think Hillstone's is maybe a little rigid with these rules? Yes. But Talene, you're just not famous enough to pull this.
Yeah, Talene. Sorry, Talene. Try harder next time. Not that you're not trying hard.
You try hard.
All right. So let's get back to it. Anyway, I just thought that would be fun to tell you about because crazy.
You knew that would activate me.
So then Talene doesn't want to fight between Brooks and Roth. And Brooks tells us, I've known Roth before I even knew Talene. So when we fell out, my hurt was more painful because I've known him for so long. I mean, it hurt even more than it hurt between me and Talene. And I want to have a private conversation with Rafi. And I want to talk to him about how he made me feel. But right now is not the time or the place. When I talk to him, I want him sitting on a toilet with a crack that could fall into the ground at any moment.
Does this mean that we're going to have to watch a scene between Brooks and Raf? Because I really don't need it. I don't care about their console. Things getting better. Reconciliation.
I'm trying to think.
I don't care about the reconciliation. Okay. We can just put it into flashback. We're all good.
Yeah. So then Chanel comes in and she's like, bow to the queen, bitches. And she's like, is it just me or do I look better than all of you combined? She looks like she's going to the funeral for a flower pot. She's like, a flower died and I will now wear a flower pot on my head made out of black glitter.
She looks like she's wearing a cathedral bell on her head. And I appreciate that it gives you shade in the heat, but like it was definitely not polo-esque.
Yeah. So they all look crazy, basically. And they're also mostly wearing huge hats, which is crazy because this is polo. You're not... Yeah. The polo is not for the big hats, but okay. And so then Michael, Caroline's gay, comes and he's like, you look like you're going to a funeral. Where are you going?
Brooks goes, and so then Brooks asks Stanberry if Chanel said hi. And Stanberry's like, no, we're good. Everything's good. So Brooks is like saying, I don't know. They're just like watching polo.
They're making small talk, you know. And then
happen actually for a little bit. They're just talking about their clothing for a bit.
But Stanbury does mention, she's like, well, I think that everybody here watched Pretty Woman and they think that's what polo attire is. It's like ridiculous. And then Lisa came dressed like a naughty school headmistress, she says, because Lisa's in like a little tennis skirt. Like she does look like a sexy
sweater. She was wearing a sweater with a blazer over it. I'm like, it is 400 degrees out there. How are you doing this?
Of all the things that confuse me about this show, the maids being thrown in prison and kidnapping children, all of that, the thing that confuses me the most is how they're in 120 degrees in leather acting like it's just a normal fall day in New York.
Yeah.
I've never understood it.
I don't understand the logistics of how they shoot this show because they're wearing so much clothing in such intense heat.
But, yeah, so they make little comments about each other's outfits and stuff and kind of diss each other. And then the match begins. Dun, dun, dun. And so Lisa and Sarah are making small talk. And then Sarah brings up her nanny stuff. And Lisa's like, what? She goes, yes, she was going to kidnap my child. I mean, she must have because there were like the comments and then there was guys and then there was drinking in my house. And Lisa goes, well, she's not arrested or anything crazy like that. And Sarah goes, yeah, she's in jail. And she goes, she's in jail in the Middle East? And she's like, that's the law. Bye. Go to jail.
Yeah, she's basically like, I think Lisa's implying like, she's going to die there.
Yeah, like, Lisa's like, that's harsh. She's like, what did you do? And she's like, yep. Bye. I mean, go to jail.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like this maid should be in jail. But yeah, it's like, wow. Middle East jail sounds not like a walk in the park. So Stanbury's like, okay, people went to jail. That was funny, by the way, when Sarah was like, yeah, you're going to come for my kid? Go to jail. I was like, wow. She literally commanded them to go to jail, and they went to jail. She was like a monopoly board. So Stanbury's like, all right, but all this talk about ransom and children being stolen has made me thirsty. Sergio, champagne, Sergio. Okay, garçon, Sergio. Come on.
He's like, okay, honey, here you go, honey. Here you go, honey. And Michael goes, oh my God, he is so pussy whipped. Am I right, bros?
Bro hands, am I right? Can we just like razz him a little bit?
So, who wants to give a wedgie to the little guy? Right, bros?
I just would like to mention something right now. I've been to polo matches with royalty, the queen, and famous people playing huge matches. My ex-boyfriend had a polo team in America. So I went to way too many polo games every single weekend, and I've never heard of a gold coin search, because that's what they have to do now. Instead of putting in the divots with their feet, they are going to look for gold coins in the field. Because why not?
Yeah, so Lisa's like, I have no idea what I'm looking for, but if it has to do with gold and digging, Brooks is the perfect person to know. She's the perfect person for it, and now I know why she likes polo. Dun, dun, dun. So then, let's see. I don't know. It's a lot of small. It's like a nice event. Like everyone's having like a nice time at the event.
An uneventful event. Like really nothing happened. You know, they look for someone else. Some other person finds the gold. And then Stanbury and Chanel sit down to chat, to sort of like check in with each other. And Stanbury's like, you know, as you know, I went out to lunch with Lisa, who I still hate, but I said I liked. And I think it was needed to happen. And I explained to her how much I value my friendship with you. And I was enjoying even hanging out with her. It's wild. Of course, am I just saying this because you're more popular with the fans than I am? Perhaps, but it's what I will do.
Yeah, and they have the same conversation they've had a million times. She's like, you shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have. You were so bad. I was so bad. And she's like, but we were both wrong, all right? And if God had a stick, he'd beat both of us with it. She goes, he'd beat you first. So they make up again. And then this is where Ayan's like, well, I don't think Stanbury came between me and Lisa. I can't blame her for that. I think me and Lisa came between each other. So now she's like, the problem is deeper. It's between me and Lisa. But what is it? What is the problem?
Yeah, she has to figure out why she is so angry about it. So now Brooks does a whole thing where she's like, I'm gonna judge everyone on your looks today. And the winner is Brooke Shields. Congratulations, Brooke Shields. You what? No, she's not here. Okay, well, I don't know. Lisa, you win.
Yeah, Lisa's sexy school marm outfit is the winner. Also, there was a part where Chanel's like, I have to sit down for the judging, and there wasn't a seat for her, and so she went and sat on Stanbury's lap, and they're like, oh my God, Lisa, lost your best friend. And Lisa's just looking off in the distance like, it's not bothering her a bit.
But is it? Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so then let's see. We go to Sergio and Caroline for the 47th birthday celebration. And he's like, there's only two occasions that I feel grateful to control the situations, which is having sex and today. Today. Wow.
Yes, because like when we have sex, it's like, let's have sex, honey. And then like, sleepy time, you know? Oh, wait, did you just come? Ha ha, tiki tiki. Okay, okay. honey, are you ready? Are you ready for birthday? You're ready for birthday, honey? Yes, Sergio, just get on with it already. Okay. Oh, you have blindfold? Okay, here we are. We're at the boat. Wow. I'm absolutely thrilled with this gift, Sergio. Can you hear my sarcasm? What, honey? The sarcasm?
So they get on the boat and he's got a birthday cake made for her. And she's like, wow, is this a cake of our house? This is amazing. Actually, it's inaccurate. Could you put a little bit of chipped marble in there?
Where's the little cubbyhole that you sleep in? I don't see it in the cake. Mm-hmm. So they're eating this cake and everything, and Stamber's like, you know, Sergio never ceases to amaze me. The stuff he comes up with, I've never seen a cake like it. A cake in the shape of a big square. Who would have ever thought in all of Dubai they could have pulled it off? That was sarcasm again.
Absolutely insane.
So Stamber is like, you know, every year I think I can't get better, and you do better. I mean, last year you got me a circle cake, this year a square cake. Are there no shapes off limits for your imagination, Sergio?
She's like, Sergio, we're one in a million. No one gets to do this. I mean, look at us here on a boat eating a cake in the shape of a square. No babies running around ruining everything. God, life is great, isn't it?
You know, people have affairs with men like you. They don't marry and then start families, which is my way of saying I actually have another husband and I've been having an affair with you, so that's why we're not having a child.
Consider yourself lucky. I did marry you. Good for you.
This is all a sham. I'm pushing you off the side of this boat. That's my birthday gift to me. It's killing you. So she's
baby,
like...
Baby, honey, yes, honey. I wanted to talk to you about something. Are we having a baby or not? She's like, oh my God, Sergio. He goes, the biggest fear I have is to end up alone later on in age. Caroline will be gone. My family will be gone because everybody's old.
Well, unless I push you over the side of this boat first, in which case you'll be gone and I'll get to live my life.
If I don't have a baby, what will be my role in this life? Nothing. I will have no role in...
You could do something... You know, like, what do you do? I mean, maybe you feel like that because you don't do anything.
You know, it's like such a catch 22, which is also how I met Sergio. I caught a 22-year-old. Because one day, if you don't have a baby, you're not going to be around forever.
Yeah. That's sorry, all I have been quiet because I'm. Yeah. So, So she's like, all right, look. He goes, look into my eyes. Are we actually having a baby or not? She's like, right now, not. Sergio, how many times does she need to say no?
I know. But so by no, you mean we have baby right now? Right now? Tiki tiki baby? It's like, no baby. You're pregnant? You're giving birth right now? No, that's not how it works. You don't say you want a baby and it arrives in your uterus.
All right, they're about to take our order. She will have the salmon. I'll have a baby. Please. Hurry. Please.
No, Sergio. We're not having a baby. She goes, okay, but we're going to, right? She goes, okay, is it a deal breaker or not? Just tell me. Okay, both of you are ridiculous. You know he wants a baby, and you know she doesn't want a baby. So who's at fault here? I don't think she's at fault for not wanting a damn baby, but you can't lead somebody on and make it sound like you're going to have a baby and then not have a baby. But then you shouldn't be pressuring anybody to have a baby. And if you need something more in your life, you shouldn't have married somebody who doesn't want to have a baby and get a job.
Yeah, I don't think that they should have a baby. And I think that he should have realized that before he got married to Caroline Stanbury. I feel like she was pretty clear about this in the first season as well. And that was before they were married. So he had plenty of chances to back out. And now he just, you know what? He can get a plant. That's what I say. And she says, you know, I really have to think about it seriously. And I suppose ultimately, this could be the one thing that divides us. Well, this could divide us. His stupidity could divide us. His clinginess could divide us. The fact that he always interrupts me when I'm on the phone with Barari, that could divide us. There are a lot of things that actually could divide us. We're really a terrible couple if you think about it. But he's hot, so that's all that really matters for me.
But it's funny that she's acting like, oh, and now finally Sergio has told me that this might be a deal breaker. What do I do?
They're like, Caroline, we're approaching the season finale. Could you create some sort of climactic decision for yourself? Thanks so much. All right, I've got it. When do I kill Sergio? No, how about something about your baby? Fine, I'll do that one instead.
I want her final scene to be in the Dubai jail, just being like, hello, I'm here to speak with Maid Aldani. Hello, I'm willing to spring you out of here if you hold a baby for Sergio inside of you. Can you do that? Yes or no? Come take all baby and then kidnap it. Will you do that for us? Listen, I found a perfect way to exploit your talents. Yeah, I don't know that they should have a baby. I don't think they should have a baby. No, don't do it.
Don't do it. She doesn't want it. Don't do it. Yeah. I really thought the season finale was going to be next week. With that sort of cliffhanger, it really implies that the season finale is coming up. But we are not there yet. So we'll keep an eye out. You're an eye out. You know, and then we won't. We'll just watch
it. I'm guessing it'll be the one after, because next week is 12. So I guess they'll do 13.
Yeah. I think we're rapidly approaching a very, very good season. Getting its finale. So everyone, thanks for being here. We have Orange County coming up later this week, and be sure to listen to the stuff you missed earlier this week. If you have, thanks for being here, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Bye-bye. Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.